Morning. Appreciate the invitation to be here. So thankful for the elders. Love Brother Ratcliffe, Brother Stockton so much. Very good eldership. Matter of fact, we do not have an eldership here at Northern Oaks in San Antonio, and I would love to have the eldership here. Very good eldership. I think a lot of Stan, Brother Ratcliffe. I also know that you have an outstanding preacher here in Brother Stan Crowley, who preaches to you from week to week, an excellent preacher. And also, I'm thankful to not only that, but the deacons, also the members here, who from week to week have put a lot into this lectureship to make it where there are no problems. It goes very well. It's very successful and a great lectureship we have had here at Schertz for some time. I'm also thankful that I have my wife, Melanie, with me this morning, and also my little girl, Crystal. At first, she was thinking about not coming, and I said, well, you got to come. And she says, well, that first lecture is kind of hard to get to. I said, but your favorite preacher is speaking. And she says, well, B.J. Clark speaking in the morning before you? And I say, B.J. Clark's overrated. And she would not have it. And I love B.J. Clark, and I just continued to go on, but I could not convince her that I was her number one preacher. I found out I was number four on the list, Dan, number four. She said, well, Mel, I heard you 20,000 times. And I said, well, now you get the benefit of hearing me 20,001 times. And it took some convincing, but I got her here this morning. I'm glad she decided to come with me. But regardless if I'm number one or number four, I'm going to still preach the gospel this morning. And I kind of wonder if I'm not married to her, if I would actually be even number four. This morning, my topic that is assigned to me is Daniel chapter 10. If you'll be turning there in your Bibles, and hopefully you'll be following along in your Bibles, very important that you do so, because I like to bring out what God's message to Daniel and also for us today is as we look at this chapter. But here we find Daniel's vision beside the great river Hiddekel. I'm certainly thankful also for this fine audience. There's two things that could keep Texans away, morning traffic and also an Arctic blast that sometimes will keep Texans away, but I'm so thankful that you are here this morning. But yet, the book of Daniel is one of the most action-packed books that we find in the Bible. Now, the first six chapters of the book of Daniel are somewhat easy to understand. The last six are harder to understand, but yet with more learning and studying, we can understand the message that is there. Begin as we look at the first six chapters, they include great examples of faith for both young and those who are old. And then the second half of the book, it is filled with apocalyptic visions that sometimes challenge the greatest Bible students and also the greatest scholars. But yet, I hope to make this chapter 10 very easy for us to understand this morning. Now, in the second half of Daniel, there are four visions. There is the vision of the four beasts in chapter 7, the vision of the ram and the goat, chapter 8, and then the vision of the 70 weeks in chapter 9. And then in chapters 10 through 12, there is the vision of the end time. Now, what God is trying to show Daniel here in these last several chapters is that God has a plan. God has a purpose regarding the nation of Israel, and not only the nation of Israel, but also the kingdom to come, and that is the everlasting kingdom. But yet, as we look at chapter 10, it certainly is an introduction for chapters 11 and 12. And as we look at it, it contains some of the most specific details of any prophecy amongst the prophets, according to Homer Haley there. But yet something that is also very interesting about chapter 10 is it talks about the working of angels. And we find that Michael, the archangel, is mentioned here. And not only Michael, the archangel, but I also believe by inference, the angel Gabriel is the person that this vision is going to be given to this man, Daniel. But he is the messenger that is here. But yet as we begin to study this chapter 10, we see in verses 1 through 9 the appearance of an angel, and specifically in verses 1 through 4, the date and setting of the vision. Now, 2 years earlier, in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, Cyrus issued a decree that all the captives can return to Jerusalem. It may have been at this time that there were enemies of the Jewish people who are hindering the reconstruction of the work in Jerusalem, Ezra 4, verses 4 through 5. But yet such resistance to that building effort could have been one of the reasons why Daniel here was fasting and mourning for 3 full weeks in verses 2 through 3. Begin as we look at verse 1. This message was received in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, this is the third year as he had his conquest with Babylon. This would be the third year of his reign over Persia. And Cyrus would have been enthroned in Persia about the year 559 B.C. And 20 years later, he took Babylon about 539 B.C. So this time, this year, was about 537 to 536 B.C. Now, as Daniel begins this chapter, he writes in the third person, but however, he goes back to the first person. And Daniel identifies his name here from his Babylonian name, which is Belteshazzar. And I believe the reason why he does this is because he's showing that this is the same Daniel that was spoken of in Daniel chapter 1. In other words, he has not changed. He is still faithful as he was when he was a young man. Even in older years, he is still faithful to the Lord. But the message that Daniel received was certainly true. And that indeed is repeated at the end of this chapter, in chapter 10, verse 21, which has reference to the scripture of truth there. But yet the words, "the appointed time was long," or "one of great conflict," could show the fact that Daniel was overwhelmed by this prophecy or by these words that Gabriel, the angel, was going to give to him. And I'm sure they were kind of overwhelming, especially for Daniel to see this angel that was going to stand before him. Now, that word conflict is from a Hebrew word, saba, meaning an army or warfare. And the message here being revealed is about a future warfare between Persia and Greece, the Seleucid and Ptolemies, and Antiochus IV Epiphanes, and the Jews. And I think it's neat here that Daniel desired to know some of these things. And God here is going to give him a vision of things that are yet to come. I think about how great it would be if the United States were to get a vision. How would North Korea, how would China and Iran maybe play in our future? What's going to take place there? But yet God is going to give Daniel some future things about the Jews and what is going to take place in history, because Daniel has inquired about these things. Now, on some instances, Daniel understood the message that was given to him by God. But yet, it was also sure that we can say that he did not understand everything because of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8. But yet, this vision was going to be given to him so that he might be aided in his understanding. Now, my plan is to go verse by verse. That is, of course, unless our time runs out. But yet, we look at verses 2 and 3 in our Bibles. And it says, "In those days," that points back to verse 1, "the third year of Cyrus. And during this period, Daniel was mourning for 3 full weeks. Now, the reason for the mourning is not mentioned here. It could have been mourning because of the enemies of God who were keeping the Jews from reconstructing the walls. That could have been the reason, but yet it is not specifically said. But Daniel explained these 3 weeks as a time of fasting. He said, "I ate no pleasant food," and I think we are having lunch later on. We're going to be eating some pleasant food later on. But yet, Daniel here said, "I ate no pleasant food. No meat came into my mouth till 3 weeks were fulfilled." Now, Daniel was fasting for quite some time. This showed Daniel's humility. This showed Daniel's faith that he also had in God. Now, this fasting here was not a total depravation of food and drink. I believe it was certainly fasting. He was drinking water and vegetables just as he did as a youth in chapter 1, verse 12, also verse 16. But the word "pleasant" here comes from a Hebrew word, shemuda, and the term is used to describe Daniel as greatly beloved as well in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23. So that word there, "pleasant food," is a description also later on that is going to be given by Daniel. And we think about how great this is and how the Bible refers to Daniel as being pleasant later on. But yet he had no pleasant food. He was mourning, and one of the mourning rituals that he also went through is that he did not take any ointment. They did not have body deodorant back then, so he also was devoid of these perfumes. He fasted. And in verse 4, Daniel received a revelation on the 24th day of the first month. This would have been the Hebrew month of Abib or Nisan. But yet this revelation was given to him while he was standing by the great river Tigris. And that same word is also, that same name is also the great river Hiddekel. When we see the word great river, usually it refers to Euphrates. However, here it also refers to the Tigris River, which is also great. I think about the San Antonio River. It's a great river. It's a place where I was almost going to propose to my wife, and that way she said, no, I could kick her out of the boat. But I thought the Tower of America in downtown San Antonio was a lot higher. She could not say no there, and she, of course, did not. But yet, a great river, this great river Hiddekel. And as he was standing beside this river, this is where he received this final prophecy from this messenger. Now, verses 5 through 6, we find a description of the angel. And Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. And he was by the bank of the Tigris River, the Hiddekel, when he saw a certain man, as you look in your Bibles at verse 5. And while the description of this man has a comparison to John's description, one like the Son of Man, in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, I certainly believe here that there is a comparison that is made to the Son of Man. But the man that is being described here is not Jesus Christ. But rather, I believe that this is the angel Gabriel, and we're going to have more to say about that. Yet in verses 5 through 6, Daniel entered into a visionary state with this heavenly man. Now, this heavenly man is often tried to identify by looking at two passages in the book of Ezekiel. And as you look at those two passages in the book of Ezekiel, those, I certainly believe, are referring to Jesus Christ. But yet one commentator had this to say. He says, since in the book of Ezekiel, it is talking about Jesus Christ. Therefore, in this chapter, this man is also Christ Jesus as well. And Edward J. Young is one of the individuals who holds that view, and I do not hold that view. And I like here what James E. Smith had to say in Daniel, about this text. He thought that this angel was an angel. And he said that this man had recently required the assistance of the angel Michael. Now, this is referring to Jesus Christ. Why would Jesus need the assistance of Michael the archangel in fighting? So I don't believe that fits. I certainly believe that this is the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel, of course, appeared to Daniel earlier in chapter 8 and also chapter 9. But yet Smith believed that this was probably an angel of the highest rank. And we're going to have a little bit more to say about this angel when we get to Daniel chapter 10 in verse 13. Now, we do not have enough time to talk about his clothing. Indeed, his clothing had great significance. But yet there are some things that are mentioned here about his brilliance and the fact that his face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like torches of fire. His arms were and feet were like burnished bronze. But yeah, this was the man. This was the angel that God gave to Daniel to carry out his message. But yet something else that is also mentioned, rather peculiar that is here. It says the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Now I think about some great voices that I heard. James Earl Jones, who of course played the voice of Darth Vader. You think about a voice that is magnified maybe by 1,000 times. And yet that was what this voice of the angel sounded like. And in verses 7 through 9, we find Daniel's reaction. Just as Saul saw Jesus Christ in a vision in Acts chapter 9, when he was on the road to Damascus, he was the only one who saw the vision. But those who were around him took off, and they were very afraid. But Daniel is going to be the only one who sees this vision here. As a matter of fact, the men that were with him were frightened in verse 7. But yet in verses 8 through 9, when the man in the vision spoke, Daniel fainted. Now, I think about the time when I first met my wife. I almost fainted a little bit, maybe swooned. But yet, Daniel here sees this angel, and he faints. He cannot handle the situation. Now, the men, of course, that were with Daniel did not see the vision. But yet, they fled in terror. But yet, in verses 8 through 9, Daniel was left alone to witness this great vision. But yet, this angel, who again, I believe is Gabriel, left Daniel in a weakened state. He lost his strength. His vigor was turned into frailty and almost lost his consciousness, and maybe that is what happened. But yet his face fell to the ground. Now, verses 10 through 19, we find that something strange happens. The angel here has a conversation with Daniel. We think about if we were to see an angel today and he were begin to talk to us, we think about how strange that would be. But yet God selected this messenger to come to Daniel and to speak to him. And we find his initial words here. And the angel begins the vision with the encouraging message that Daniel is highly esteemed. And how great that is to have an angel say, "You're highly esteemed." But in verses 10 through 14, the angel's initial words to Daniel. After Daniel's response of shock and loss of consciousness, a hand touched him. And I believe that this was Gabriel's hand. And when Gabriel touched him, he, of course, was fearful. And this was not the first. He was going to be touched three times by an angel. The first time, he lost strength. The second two times after that took place, it restored strength to this man, Daniel. In verse 11, the angel addressed Daniel, saying he is a man of high esteem. And I certainly believe this showed what great honor God had for Daniel, how much he thought of Daniel, that Daniel was standing with God. And then he told him to stand up straight and receive the message from God. I think that's what we need to do when it comes to evangelism, the Lord's church. We need to stand up tall, and we need to preach the gospel of Christ. But yet he needed to receive the message from God. And even though he stood up trembling. Yes, sometimes we might tremble. There are some times that it might be hard for us to preach the gospel to those who are lost. We might even do it trembling, but we must. And that's what Daniel did here. Now, verse 12, Daniel was comforted by the angel who advised him not to be afraid. And he complimented Daniel for his humility. And he said he is the reason why he is here, because of his prayers, verses 2 through 3. But yet Daniel was going to be given a new revelation because of his desire for understanding. Now, verse 13, the angel gave a legitimate reason why he did not appear sooner. And you look at verse 13, and something strange takes place there. It says there that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now you look at the delay to Daniel's prayer. He was fasting for 3 weeks, that is 21 days, corresponding to the time period here. But yet this angel, Gabriel, tells Daniel the reason why he was delayed. He said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now, he was preoccupied with this conflict. But yet, he said he was unable to come until he was relieved by Michael, one of the chief princesses. Now, something very interesting about the name Michael and also about the angel Daniel, there is only two angels that are mentioned by name in the Bible. And one, of course, is Gabriel, and the other is Michael, who is referred to as an archangel in Jude chapter 9. And Michael's name means who is like God. Now, some might say this. They said that Gabriel is an archangel. Well, we don't know that Gabriel is an archangel. It could very well be that he is an archangel. In verse 13, it says, Michael, who is one of the chief princesses, meaning maybe there is more than one. But yet, Gabriel is mentioned by name. But yet, we don't know if he was an archangel here, but yet Michael the archangel is mentioned. But yet another interesting point that is mentioned here is the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, the Hebrew word for prince, and who is this prince of Persia? Because that is a question. Because not only did, who is this prince? Because he withstood an angel, so who is he? Now, the Hebrew word for prince, sar, can be both used for humans and heavenly beings. And some commentators will actually say that this prince here was Cyrus. Now, I don't believe it was Cyrus here, because I don't think Cyrus could withstand an angel. You look at 2 Kings 10, verse 35, one angel there took out 185,000. And if this is Gabriel, and if he was an archangel, we don't know if he was or not, I'm sure he would have no problem dispatching with Cyrus. So I take this to mean that this is one of Satan's evil angels who was fighting against Gabriel and also fighting against Michael the archangel. But now we look at verse 14. We know Satan had a purpose for the nation of Persia as well, but yet God was going to withstand him. And in verse 14, the angel Gabriel had appeared to Daniel to reveal to him what would happen to the Jews in the later days. And there the later days means the days that are yet to come. This was a time that was going to be determined by the events that would take place in chapter 11. Particularly between the Persians and the Greeks, the Seleucids and Ptolemies, Antiochus the Fourth, Epiphanes, and the Jews during the intertestamental period. Now God was going to let Daniel see what was going to happen to his people in the future. What was going to take place in history? What changes were going to happen? Think about how great that would be if we can see what's going to happen to the nation of the United States. In verses 15 through 19, Daniel is going to be strengthened. In verse 15, once again, Daniel was weakened. He said he turned to the ground, he became speechless, and he was overwhelmed by this divine being. And in verse 16, for the second time in this chapter, Daniel was touched by an angel. And he described him as having the likeness of the Son of Man. But yet the angel touched his lips. And Daniel spoke, and he uttered his weakness. He says, "My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have no strength." Now, the Hebrew word there for sorrow or for anguish denotes intense suffering. It can actually denote a woman who is suffering with the labor pains. This was a hard message for Daniel to grasp, a hard message for him to even understand, but yet he understood some of it or most of it. In verse 17, Daniel, fully aware of his humanity and intimidated by this heavenly being, you imagine with all his splendor, with his voice, indeed very intimidating to hear and to see this angel standing before him. "But for how can this servant of my Lord talk with you?" This interaction left him physically spent, emotionally exhausted, with no strength remaining. And in verse 18, once again, Daniel was touched by the angel who looked like a man. And from this touch, he received his strength, kind of some miraculous energy that was given to Daniel. It would be kind of nice to receive such a thing today. You're tired, you get touched by an angel, you get miraculous energy, but yet we understand that that does not happen. But yet it happened to Daniel. He had energy now to receive this prophecy that God was going to give to him. And in verse 19, the angel declared, "O man greatly beloved, fear not." The same words are found in verses 11 and 12. But yet he also gives an additional charge, "Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." Now, the Hebrew word there for peace there is shalom. And it means not only to be well in welfare, but also to be well in health. And I believe it was a stronger meaning since it was coming from this angel. He wanted Daniel to be ready. These words were not going to be easy. These things that he was going to peer into. And sometimes we ask ourselves the question, do we really want to know the future? Do we really know maybe what people think of us? Do we really want to know other people's thoughts? God knows those things. He knows the future, and Daniel was going to know some things about the near future that was going to take place concerning his people. And not an easy vision to take. Beyond verses 20 through 21, we find the understanding of the angel's message. In verse 20, the angel prefaced his message by asking Daniel, "Do you know why I came to you?" Now, Daniel understood the reason why he came. Daniel was fasting and he was mourning. And that's the reason why the angel, of course, came to him. But yet there was going to be some information that is going to be given about the future kingdoms. And there were two kingdoms that he is going to describe in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 and following. The first, the angel would go to battle with the prince of Persia. The Medo-Persian Empire existed for a little more than two centuries. And Daniel chapter 11 and 1 and 2 briefly discusses the history of the future Persian kings. And there was going to be a conflict between Gabriel and the prince of Persia. But yet, what does this mean for God's people? Stephen R. Miller had to put it this way. Why did God give Daniel this vision? For what reason was what was the purpose? Well, he says this. He said the struggle involved all of the decisions and relationships pertaining to the Jews during the Persian period. The reconstruction of the temple, the deliverance of the Jews during the time of Esther, permission for Ezra and Nehemiah to return, and their subsequent construction of the city. But yet it was great info on his people. What was going to happen to his people? These nations were going to rise. These rulers were going to take rule. But yet what was going to happen to his people? What was going to take place with the Jews? Again, great information for Daniel to understand. The second, Gabriel would, of course, deal with the prince of Greece who would come in the future, verses 3 through 45 of chapter 11. And there he discusses the Greek Empire in much more detail. Also, in this case, the Jews would return to the promised land and would be right in the middle of conflicts between the Seleucids and Syria, the Ptolemies, and Egypt. And moreover, they would be persecuted by the Seleucid king, Antiochus IV Epiphanes. So Daniel got a preview of these things. He understood that his people were going to suffer. Maybe he could prepare himself, prepare those who are around him to some degree, that these things were going to happen, but yet remain faithful, kind of like the book of Revelation. You know, there are some hard times, some horrible things we're going to have to go through, but yet in the end, things are certainly going to work out. And then you look at verse 21, the last verse. The angel's message revealed that it was inscribed in the scripture of truth. Now, I tried to piece together what that was, and what I came up with is that it is an imagery that is being used of a heavenly book foretelling future events. And apparently, there is some symbolic foreknowledge of God that has contained a stream of history that needs to be revealed. But yet, God knows not only the past, present, but he also knows the future. And yet, this angel was there to tell him, Daniel, about some of these things, some of these kingdoms that were coming in the future. Daniel inquired about them. He wanted to know them. And here Gabriel was going to give it to him. But the chapter concludes with the angel saying, "No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Now, Michael, your prince, of course, is a very interesting phrase. And I believe it opens the possibility of special responsibilities that Michael, the archangel, had regarding the nation of Israel. In Daniel 1, verse 21, it is said that Michael would protect the people of Israel during the struggle of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, and that's Daniel 1, 21. And in Revelation chapter 12, 7 through 12, Michael the archangel was also one of the individuals, one of the angels, who was amongst the angels who expelled Satan from heaven. But yeah, that's the chapter. A vision hard for Daniel to comprehend. A vision that was hard for Daniel to understand. Now, he understood some things, but yet as we look at chapters 11 and 12, chapter 10 is the introduction for those chapters. Again, here's the revealing of these future kingdoms that are coming. But yet there are also some lessons for us to learn from this chapter. And I know we have many questions when it comes to angels. But yet one of the first things I'd like for us to keep in mind is that we learn that those who are spiritual are loved by God. And Daniel was here, loved by God. God considered him to be very faithful, to be a very pleasant person, someone who was faithful to him. And if we are spiritually focused and walking in the light and doing what our Heavenly Father has asked us to do, God also loves us. He cares about us. I think about such men as Stephen when he was martyred there in the book of Acts. and how he stood up and he saw his heavenly Father, and he saw Jesus Christ there, and he saw Jesus Christ standing. I sometimes wonder if God and Jesus, you know, stand for us. They think a lot of us. I think that they do. Here, God thought very highly of Daniel, and he mentioned that, but Daniel was a very faithful man. Daniel was told not to fear, to be strong, and to be at peace, and we as Christians need to do the same. Secondly, we learn that spirituality must be sought after. Now, it does not happen by accident. This is something that Daniel had to do. In order to receive this prophecy, Daniel had to fast. He had to pray. He also had to be in a right relationship with God, and he received God's plans for the kingdoms of men. But yet Daniel understood God. He knew God, just as we might see a physical object, our Bibles, and we know that is real. To God, to Daniel, God was very real. He could see him each and every day, even though he cannot see him with his eye. He knew his heavenly Father. And I think that goes well for us today. But thirdly, we learn that angels have a part in the spiritual realm. Now, we cannot but help but notice this as we look at this chapter. We read this chapter, the encouraging truth that is here, and the main idea of this angel given this message to Daniel must have been very impressive. This is something that is very important, but yet we have questions. What part do angels have in our life? Is there really a spiritual world that is out there? And certainly there is. What information does the Bible give us about angels? And it's interesting to contemplate that angels are working behind the scenes. But number four, we learn that spiritual conflicts are taking place in the world in which we live around us. I think about Jacob's ladder there in the Old Testament, angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. Angels indeed involved in Jesus' ministry while he was upon the earth. Angels involved today, you know, we ask questions, well, what are they doing? And we sometimes are puzzled. We do not have all the answers, but yet it's great that we do have angels working alongside God and working alongside us in God's kingdom. But we also learn, finally, that spiritual information can sometimes be perplexing. Daniel understood some things. He did not understand everything. We as Christians can understand quite a bit of the Bible, but yet there are some things we cannot understand. I even like what Peter had to say about Paul's teachings. Some of Paul's teachings are hard to understand. It didn't necessarily say that about his teachings, but yet there are some things that are easy to understand. There are also some other things that are going to take a little bit more time in studying to understand, and we must be patient as Christians. Sometimes we have to be patient all the way to heaven, until we finally get the answers that we seek. We had two great prophecies that are coming here in the future. One great prophecy, really what this is, but yet some great things that are going to be happening in the kingdom of men. I'd like to conclude with one last final verse, Ephesians 6, 12 through 13. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." We understand that things are going on in this world we may never understand. But yet, let us take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, continue to preach the gospel. We may do it trembling. We may be scared, but yet still do it. Rather be scared in heaven than safe and comfortable in hell. That is certainly the case. Let us evangelize. Let us preach the message that God has given to us. Amen.